now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
And welcome to the next episode of the E-Town Lowdown with Robbie and Rick. I'm one of your hosts, Rick, and our other host, Robbie. Say hi, Robbie.
Hello, everybody.
Pretty excited today. We have our first celebrity guest with us today, and that's our good friend, Mr. Scott Lamort. Scott has some interesting stories to share with us. But what's interesting about Scott is he's not a lifelong resident of Elmhurst, but he came here later in life. So, Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about growing up and how you ended up getting to be an Elmhurst resident?
Sure. First, I'd like to let everyone know that you should air quote the word celebrity as much as possible when you have celebrity guests.
I disagree.
I was born and raised in Blue Island, Illinois, down on the south side of Chicago, and made my way to Elmhurst as a pimple-faced 18-year-old freshman at Elmhurst College back in 1991. I can tell you I have spent some time with some of the pillars of this community, including living 4 years in Niebuhr Hall with Mike Pavlik.
Oh, the band director over at York High School, sure.
The venerable Mike Pavlik. So, all you young musicians out there, if you need dirt on Mr. Pavlik, come find me. I'm happy to give it to you.
So you really found your way to Elmhurst via Elmhurst College.
I did.
And how did you choose Elmhurst College?
I went to a college fair my senior year of high school, where I met, at the time, admissions counselor, and I believe he went on to become a local pastor in the community, Matt Mimlitz. And Matt, you know...
Robbie, you know Matt, don't you?
I do. He was a basketball coach for the YMCA League.
I believe that.
Played center?
Well, no, he was a coach.
Oh, okay.
anyone out there who remembers Matt, he was a ball of energy, and you know, he sold me on this idea that Elmhurst was this wonderful place, and he told me that it was likely I could get a scholarship, and I walked away thinking, that guy's out of his mind. And about a week later, I got a letter in the mail saying, we might have a scholarship for you, and the rest, as they say, history.
Now, I know you came away from Elmhurst College with two very, really neat things. One was a diploma. What was the other thing you found at Elmhurst College?
Ah, I see where you're going here. Yeah. Very fortunate to find what is now my wife of nearly 20 years.
Oh, that too? I didn't realize that.
That happened.
So happens that he found a wife.
Yeah, well, 190 Prospect, quite the place for matchmaking. But yes, my wife, lifelong Elmhurst resident, went to St. Charles Borromeo Elementary School, went on to York High School, and a graduate of Elmhurst College herself.
And you have been involved in our community in various ways. Tell us about some of the organizations you've been involved with here in Elmhurst.
Sure. I try really hard to give back as much as I can. I've been fortunate to work at some great places in Elmhurst, including my alma mater, Elmhurst College, IC High School, now IC Catholic Prep. Been able to be a part of our great Chamber of Commerce, which I think very highly of. I've been on the board for Special Kids Day for a few years. I'm currently on the board of the Elmhurst Walk-In Assistance Network. Say that three times real fast there, Robbie.
Walk-In Resistance?
Exactly.
Or Assistance.
Yeah, Robbie's got his finger on the pulse of this town, let me tell you. But yeah, I get to be a part of some great organizations. And then about 10 years ago, was asked to become a part of what is now the world-famous Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. That's a story in and of itself. You were also involved with economic development in town for a while, weren't you?
I was very fortunate to be a part of the what was then called the Elmhurst Economic Development Corporation, then became a city commission under, I believe that was back under Mayor Marcucci.
Okay.
A million years ago. I also did a term as a youth commissioner under Mayor DeCiani.
Wow. So you've been very involved in town since you've come to town. And like I said before, you're a celebrity. You're involved with this, you're involved with that. And we've got a couple of neat stories to ask you about as we continue here today. One of your jobs, you know, during your career was to work down at Holy Name Cathedral. And I just wonder, did you keep the flowing robes that you wore down there?
I was indeed the first ever director of development at Holy Name Cathedral a handful of years ago, and was very proud to serve my time down there. I can tell you a great story about that. I had an office at the cathedral, and you know, would often be walking through the cathedral itself. One day I was wearing a black dress shirt, open collared at the top, with a white t-shirt underneath it. And a woman frantically ran down the center aisle of the cathedral going, "Father, Father, would you hear my confession?" To which I said, "Hon, I don't think that's a good idea."
Might have been fun for a little while.
Yeah, that's not going to end well, though.
So your current career, you were in development at the Conservation Foundation. Tell us about the Conservation Foundation, how you found them, and what their mission is, what they do, and why you're so passionate about it.
Sure. It's a wonderful little organization. We are a local nonprofit company that does environmental work in the region here in the western suburbs, including Elmhurst, obviously. I found this job 5 years ago with some help from folks at the DuPage Foundation, which would include Elmhurst people like Barb Zerpaniak and now Bill Perch, who both work there. And upon their recommendation, I threw in a resume to see what this little foundation was all about, and really liked what I saw. And it's a, like I say, wonderful organization. We do a lot of work with protecting land in the suburbs here, keeping our rivers and streams clean, doing environmental education. It's a very altruistic organization with a great mission, and that's why I enjoy being there.
Any involvement, is the Conservation Foundation involved in our community here in Elmhurst at all?
We are, and we've been a partner with Elmhurst for many years. About 3 or 4 years ago, we started a program called Conservation in Our Community, where we work at the municipal level to further greening of the suburbs, you know, that we all live in, including Elmhurst. So one of the things we do in town is we are the rain barrel provider, which is a great water conservation tool in the community, where individuals can use rain barrels to capture rainwater off of their homes and use that in their gardening, watering their grass, flowers, that kind of stuff. And we're very fortunate to have the City of Elmhurst as a partner, and some of the local businesses in our community, including Community Bank of Elmhurst, who every year are kind enough to put some example rain barrels in their lobby. So if you're interested in a rain barrel, you can see them at both the City Center branch as well as the Butterfield and Spring branch as soon as the weather gets above zero again.
What else has the Conservation Foundation done in Elmhurst in terms of, isn't there some a program you have, Conservation at Home and Conservation at Work? How do those work?
We do. Great programs that were started about 10 years ago to encourage residents and businesses to green themselves up. And it's something that's been catching on here in Elmhurst. If you drive around town enough, you're bound to see a couple of the signs here and there. I know on the south end of town, there are 3 or 4 certified homes. Got a couple of certified businesses. Elmhurst Hospital is certified through our program. And really, the programs are designed to reward and encourage people to do things that are good on the outside of exterior of their homes to help, you know, plant native plants that provide habitat and pollination for, you know, the bees, the birds, the bugs, the bunnies, all that kind of stuff.
Are there any financial benefits to the people that are
great
with
question
your program?
On the business side particularly, there are some opportunities to really gain in the cost of doing your landscaping. If you want to replace some turf grass with some, you know, meadow or prairie flower kind of stuff, you have the opportunity to cut back on your cost. Now, like anything else, Robbie, there's front-end investment to those things. You get paid back over years, but it's no different than energy efficiency with ComEd in your home. You know, you take those steps. You know there's a cost up front, but you're going to make that back over time.
Yeah. Excellent.
What's the easiest way for somebody to get involved with a Conservation Foundation, either if they want to have their home certified or if they'd like to be a donor or just find out what they can do to help in their community, our county, Northern Illinois, et cetera?
Sure. Yeah. Easiest way, go on our website, theconservationfoundation.org. All that information's there. All the information about our programs, volunteer opportunities, all that good stuff is available. I'd like to, if it's okay with you guys, share a little bit of an announcement, if
sure,
that's okay.
Sure.
Effective January 1st, we merged in with our farming partner, the Green Earth Institute, which is a separate nonprofit, is now part of the Conservation Foundation. They run a organic CSA, a community-supported agriculture program. They grow vegetables on our farm in Naperville. It's almost 50 acres of farmed soil. They grow the vegetables, sell shares to them, throughout the community. They have pickup locations in both Hinsdale and Lombard. So they're now a part of the Conservation Foundation, which is great. We love to have them. They share a mission with us that, you know, they want to make our land sustainable. They want to take care of land. They do a lot of education about things like that. So great. Dovetail our mission to their mission, so now we're one big, strong organization. And the great thing that I can announce is on Thursday, January 11th, Whole Foods will be donating 5% of the day's net sales to our Green Earth Institute program. Everything purchased that day is eligible, and it'll be at the Whole Foods locations in Naperville, Orland Park, Wheaton, Willowbrook, Hinsdale, and Elmhurst.
Fantastic.
And guys, if you're not busy that day, I will be manning a table at the Elmhurst Whole Foods from 1 to 6 in the afternoon.
And will you share some of your great stories with us if we come over and see you?
I will. Would you like to hear my Whole Foods joke?
But wait one second. Are the apparently websites not merged yet?
You can access the Green Earth Institute website through the conservation site, or you can go to greenearthinstitute.org. Thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I'm dying to hear your Whole Foods joke. Please. Apparently, Robbie isn't.
Robbie's a smart man. My Whole Foods joke is that I went into Whole Foods and I bought $50 worth of apples, and I walked out and I dropped the bag and both of them got bruised.
Ba-dum-bum. And on that note, the E-Town Lowdown will take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
See you in a minute.
The E-Town Lowdown encourages you to like Explore Elmhurst on Facebook, a great resource so you too can be in the know when it comes to Elmhurst. Elmhurst, close to everything. Unlike anything. And we're back here at the E-Town Lowdown in our hot tub high above Butterfield Park. I'm your host, Rick, and our other host, Robbie, is going to start the next segment with our guest, Mr. Scott Lamort.
Thanks, Rick. Scott, tell me a little bit about Drive for Downs and what you did and why you did it.
Sure. That was back in May of 2013. I have a daughter with Down syndrome. I felt like I ought to do something to help the Down syndrome community. And it's interesting because Down syndrome is not a sort of household name in the charitable world. You tend to think of autism charities, breast cancer charities, things like that, that are known to the general public. Down syndrome really doesn't have that. So I thought, you know, it might be an interesting opportunity to try something and see what happens. So I set out to drive across the country from Chicago to Santa Monica, following as much of the old Route 66 route as I can. And along the way, I did a blog, which had a website. Every day I drove and blogged and went start to finish from here to there, and had a great time.
Like Forrest Gump, something like that?
Ish. You could say that.
How long did it take you?
I did that trip in 9 days, and I stopped for one extra night in Las Vegas, which is off the route, but since I was close enough, figured it was worth seeing.
Where does Route 66 start?
It starts downtown Chicago. You can pick it up, and you go through Chicago. And in Illinois, it's actually a somewhat boring section because most of the old road has been replaced by Interstate 55.
So Route 66 starts in Chicago. Where Correct. Did you start your trip?
I started right here in Elmhurst because who needs Chicago when you live in Elmhurst? So I kicked off.
Where are you going with this, Robbie?
Just is it really valid?
I kicked off.
I tend to agree with you. What happened there?
I kicked off from the bank, Community Bank of Elmhurst parking
which
lot.
Which is a great place to kick off.
Absolutely. It was.
And you can get to downtown Chicago from here, by the way.
We could. It's out of the way, though. I decided I wanted my friends and family to be with me at the start here where I live, and had my children with me when I did it. And I can honestly tell you that I skipped Chicago in favor of my first stop, which was Dwight.
Dwight? By Kankakee, right?
Ish, yeah. It's not too far. Right. Pontiac.
What exciting things did you find in Dwight?
Exits. Best thing to come out of Dwight is I-55.
Oh, boy.
Not much going on down there.
We might have to edit that one.
They have some they have some markers to commemorate the old 66 there. I have a college friend of mine, Bill Perch, who some people out there may know. Bill used to work at the Elmhurst Park District. Bill is from Dwight. That was largely why I stopped, is so I could tell him I stopped at Dwight on my way.
Awesome. So tell us about something you learned or you had to learn something going.
Oh, that
all
trip.
The way.
Yeah, I learned that there's an amazing area of the country that if you don't take that route, you never get to experience the thrill of it. And there's a section where you get through Texas, well, Oklahoma, part of Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, where it's very desert. You don't see much. It's sort of sparse. And then all of a sudden you hit northern Arizona and that climate changes and you get big, tall pine trees and forestry and it greens really fast. And it's a very stark contrast. And it's a very exhilarating feeling when you're driving down the highway and you go from this complete and utter desert onto this beautiful, lush part of northern Arizona. And it was just an amazing feeling.
Did you camp at all?
I did not, because I'm a suburbanite.
Understood.
You know, some pretty good suburbanites like to camp, too.
I've heard that.
Anybody that is on this podcast?
I don't know what you're talking about. No. Okay. No. Why did you do it in 2013? Why then?
You know, it was just a point where I felt like I could get it done.
Wasn't in conjunction with a birthday or anything like that?
No. Well, yeah, I guess technically it was. I did hit a milestone birthday that year, but it was unintentional. I have to admit it. It wasn't.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't a midlife crisis thing. It wasn't anything like that. My kids were old enough where I felt like I could leave them for a week and a half and go do it. And it just sort of worked out. Interestingly enough, I chose not to drive back home. I rented a car at the airport at O'Hare and dropped.
What model Ferrari did you rent?
Exactly. I went coast to coast in a Ford Escape. And I have to tell you, there was a section of New Mexico where that speedometer allegedly hit 115.
Really?
Allegedly.
A lot of straight roads out there.
Yes.
Nice and smooth.
Very much so. Great place to drive.
Did you have any car issues or direction issues or anything like that you'd like to share?
No, you know, what I had was a lot of fun. There are still some great sections where you can get off the interstates. For those of you who don't know, Route 66 was decommissioned as a road and replaced largely by interstates. So over here it's I-55, down in the southwest it's I-40, but there are still some drivable sections where you can get off and drive through, you know, the little old Route 66 communities, which feel a lot like, if you've seen the movie Cars, the Radiator Springs types of towns. A lot of fun to go through. Old motels, old gas stations. I mean, really what America was like back in the 40s and 50s.
Did you eat any local cuisine anywhere along the way?
I did, almost all the way through, which was a lot of fun. You know, the country is a bigger place than we sometimes give it credit for. And I know a lot of people get hung up on traveling internationally. And after that trip, I have to admit, I've had very little desire to leave the country, but I've had a great desire to go see the parts of it that I haven't seen. So yeah, there's great local stuff everywhere, and including Southern Illinois. I mean, we sort of make fun of downstate Illinois, but you know, it's different than Chicago. It's a different part of Illinois.
Did you meet anybody on the trip that you're still in contact with?
That's a great question. There are a couple of folks that I've had periodic contact with. Great part of that trip for me was that I raised a lot of money through donations, and I got all of the nights lodging except for one donated to me. And there's a great little place that I would plug if anyone's in the Flagstaff, Arizona area. It's called the Little America Hotel, right off of Route 66 in just this wonderful forested area. And it's a single story, almost looks like a rundown motel if you weren't paying attention. But when you go into it, it's not rundown at all. It's a wonderful place. Very old school. You get a key to open the door, not a key card. You actually get a metal key. You know, it's got a supper club kind of thing to it. Just a great place. And they were kind enough to let me stay there for nothing. So I was very appreciative. And I do talk to them on occasion, largely through email, because I haven't been back to Flagstaff.
Do you think the good folks there might consider sponsoring the E-Town Lowdown?
I don't see why not. We could certainly ask them.
I have to share a Robbie story.
Go for it.
Really quick. When I was in Arizona, Tempe, visiting my brother, we decided we were going to go up to Flagstaff and look at the Grand Canyon. It was 70 degrees in Tempe. We got up to Flagstaff. You could not see over the canyon. The snowing was so bad. The flurries were so bad. So that is my one time I went to see the Grand Canyon.
That's a really good story, Robbie. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, and I can tell you, Robbie, that I took my son to the Grand Canyon a year ago, and we also then went to spring training in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, and it was 34 degrees at the canyon, and we drove down to Phoenix, got there about noon, and it was 78. It's amazing.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
So did you actually, when you got to Santa Monica, did you actually put your toes in the water?
You know what? I went to the edge of the pier, and I did like the Titanic thing, where I lifted my arms up and leaned over the edge of the rail.
Did you have clothes on?
Who was your Jack?
is that a two-part question right there?
Couldn't resist. Who?
I was very fortunate. From Vegas to California, I had my brother and one of my good friends do that stretch with me. So they were with me on the pier, so they can attest to this being a true story. I did actually walk to the very edge as far as you could, and I sort of leaned over and smelled the salt water, and you know, it was a really great feeling. I have to admit, Robbie, it did feel a little Forrest Gumpish when I hit the edge of the land and saw the water. And
I happen to know there's a Zoltar.
There is.
On the Santa Monica Pier, and I wonder if you pumped a quarter or a pretend quarter in, because it'll work with a pretend quarter bad enough.
I did. But played the machine while I was there.
And what did Zoltar have to say?
You know, I don't remember. I have the card. It's still at my house. I just don't remember it off the top of my head.
Fly home.
Yeah, right.
And did your wife miss you?
I don't think so.
No?
You'd have to ask her, but my guess is not.
My guess is you're right. I know you.
Right?
It's not that I know your wife, but I know you, and I'm sure she probably didn't miss you.
I don't blame her.
And back to the reason you went and the Down syndrome. Tell us how your daughter's doing and what you've learned about folks with Down syndrome.
Sure. My daughter's doing great. Thank you for asking. She's in school here at Jackson Elementary, our local school. One of the great things that came out of that drive was the organization that I was supporting at the time. It's called the Lumind, L-U-M-I-N-D. Foundation. Lumind does medical research, pharmaceutical research with the Down syndrome community to see the effects of certain pharmaceuticals on memory and cognition. Great thing was they took that drive, which raised a little north of $10,000, which I had a goal of $2,500. So from my perspective, I felt like I did really well. They then parlayed that for the 2 years following, where they did a road rally that was sponsored by NASCAR. They did it down in the Carolinas area, and they had several of the NASCAR legends, the Petty family, people like that involved. So it actually went from being a local thing that started out of the Community Bank of Elmhurst parking lot into a national draw where people drove to the Carolinas to be a part of this big road rally. And they raised a significant amount of money for a couple of years before that partnership ended. So, you know, good things happened because of it.
If people want to get more information about Down syndrome, where can they go?
Oh, there's a lot of great Down syndrome organizations. One of my favorite ones, it's a great organization. They have a terrible acronym. It's the North American Down Syndrome Group. You figure it out. great organization. Just throw them into Google and carefully throw them into Google and search for them. But
well, it's a great story, and I think our listeners will really appreciate hearing more about it. Some of them may remember when you went on that trip. But yeah.
I would throw out locally, we have a very active group of families in Elmhurst that have children with Down syndrome. Access Sports is another great group. They do athletic sports programming for the special needs community. They're always looking for volunteers. This community supports Access Sports really well. A lot of high school folks come out and volunteer, and a lot of adults. So check out Access Sports if you are unfamiliar.
Is there any affiliation with Ray Graham?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Always.
Partners?
Absolutely. Ray Graham is very well connected. So yeah, that's another great source of... Ray Graham does great things for the adult Down syndrome community.
Awesome. Great story. And we're going to take a quick break here on the Lowdown. We'll be right back with our guest, Scott Lamort.
Wow. Guests of the Lowdown will receive an Elmhurst Eatown Lowdown coffee mug suitable for all types of beverages, courtesy of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
And we're back here on the Eatown Lowdown with Robbie and Rick. I'm one of your hosts, Rick. And this next segment that Robbie and I will... premiere today, and you'll hear it on every one of our episodes with our celebrity guests, is called the Lowdown Mowdown. And we're going to mow down our guest to their very core with some very interesting questions. So, Robbie, why don't you start it off?
All right, Scott. So you're a millionaire, okay? Where would you rather live?
False. Oh, sorry.
Wait, you have to wait for me to finish the question.
Okay.
All right. Think of yourself as a millionaire.
Okay.
Where would you rather live, Florida or Arizona?
Arizona.
Why is that?
Climate.
All right.
Rosie or Roseanne?
Ooh. Is death an option?
Yes.
Death.
Good answer. Beef or seafood?
Seafood.
Dirty Dancing or the Dirty Dozen?
Ooh, Dirty Dozen.
Coke or Pepsi?
Wow. That's tough. Coke.
Gene Wilder or Johnny Depp?
Oh, Gene Wilder. The Waco Kid.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Elvis Presley or Elvis Costello?
Fat Elvis Presley.
Right, correct answer.
Did you ever see him in person?
No. I would have been 4 years old when he passed.
Okay, I was lucky enough to when nice. I was 12.
Yeah. Wow. It's all about you, Robbie.
Okay, okay. Oh, I forgot. This is rapid. No. Let me get back to this. All right. Lefty or righty?
Righty.
Cubs or Sox?
Oh, Sox.
Tile or hardwood?
Ooh. Wow. Hardwood.
Have you ever skinny dipped with others?
Why, yes, I have.
We're not going to ask a follow-up. Go ahead, Robbie.
Darn, I'm at my best. Roosevelt or Roosevelt?
Oh, it's Roosevelt.
Bono or Bono?
Oh, man. That's yeah, Bono, but it kills me to do that.
I got you, babe.
Favorite ex-president?
Chester Arthur.
IBS or IRS?
Wow. IRS. They at least write me a check every so often.
Good answer.
Would you rather wear shorts or a skirt?
But not a short skirt?
No.
I'll go shorts.
What is your favorite movie of all time? Only one.
Wow.
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah, my favorite movie of all time. Man, I'm inclined to go today with Blues Brothers.
I thought you were going to say Big.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. I could probably answer that question 365 times with a different answer. Caddyshack was right up there.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a Betamax?
No.
Have you ever had a perm?
No.
Robbie has.
I believe that.
I believe that, too.
Would you rather have a real Christmas tree or a fake one?
Fake one.
Jennifer Aniston or Angelina Jolie?
Ooh. Yeah, truth be told, I don't really care for either one. I'm going to say Jennifer Aniston and Aniston just because.
Mm.
So if you could just
say the right answer, but I don't like the way you got there.
Who would be your favorite, though? I know this is rapid fire, but we got to have a follow-up.
Oh, if I could pick one on top instead of those two? Oh, yeah. Boy.
A boy?
No. Oh, boy. Sorry. Oh, boy. I would choose George Clooney's ex-girlfriend, Stacey Keibler.
Wow.
Check that one out.
Don't even know that one.
Google image, Robbie. Google image.
You got it. Do it right now. Electric razor or manual?
Oh, manual.
Zamfir or Hendrix?
Master of the pan flute.
Exactly. Or Hendrix.
Wow. Hendrix.
Where would you rather fly out of, Midway or O'Hare?
Midway.
And the last question here on the Lowdown Mowdown, Fallon or Kimmel?
Yeah, at my house, it's a Fallon thing. I like them both, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Great answers. Some of them were correct. Some of them were not. But we got to know you a little bit by mowing you down to the very core.
I feel mowed down at the moment.
You had a passing score, too.
And we'll take another quick break here on the E-Town Lowdown.
Hi, Scott Lamort here, drum major of the world-famous Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, and you are listening to the E-Town Lowdown with your hosts, Robbie and Rick.
the E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world at 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
And we're back here at the E-Town Lowdown with Robbie and Rick, high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower in a two-person hot tub. And we're with our guest, Scott Lamort. And Robbie, why don't you kick off our next segment?
We are going to talk about EAO, the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra. Scott, tell us how you got involved in that.
Seems like just yesterday, but I feel like it was probably close to 10 years ago. The Elmhurst St. Pat's Day Parade in town here, which, as I understand it, is the second largest parade of its type in the Chicagoland area. I understand that to be true, or at least we're saying it's true. That hit a point where the parade was about to lose one of its feature acts, which was, if anyone has seen, the Lawn Chair Dads. It's a great group of guys who go around and do choreographed routines with lawn chairs, and you pay them a fee, and they donate that fee to charity. Great organization. But the parade was at a point economically 10 years ago or so where it wasn't going to be feasible for them to bring the Lawn Chair Dads back. And some local folks in the community decided we ought to use our collective talents and come up with something to replace them. And as I understand it, there was a gathering at a wedding. I believe it might have been Scott and Charity Algrim's wedding, where some folks over the course of dinner and drinks came up with this notion of, well, what could we do? And they came up with the idea of an all-male kazoo and paint bucket band. And there that evening, the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra concept was born.
Now, you said over dinner and maybe some beverages. What, do you think quite a few beverages?
I would hope so. I wasn't there. I can't verify that for sure, but I would think so.
And what was their vision in the beginning?
Well, I think the idea was, could we get a group of people together who were talented enough to steam a mirror?
And, wow, that narrows it down, doesn't it?
So male by gender and able to steam a mirror, and hopefully you could figure out the rest of how to play a kazoo. And from there, it sort of took on a life of its own. I remember the very first planning meeting was up at a pizza shop up on North York Road. And
in Elmhurst,
In Elmhurst, it's right. Way up north, almost to Lake Street.
Principes was the name of the place?
I believe back then it was Principes,
which now
I
think known as Fratello's.
Right. Wonderful place, by the way. Love their pizza. And I remember going in there and having a bunch of guys say, you know, we got this concept, we're going to do this thing. And I was like, you guys are crazy. And they said, okay, we're going to need someone to lead the musical aspect of this. And they said, anybody have any musical experience?
And what kind of a musical experience did everybody have in the group?
Well, I led the way with my freshman year of high school being in marching band, and that made
you're a prodigy, aren't
made
you?
Me overqualified to become the leader of this fine musical act. So,
wow,
so you were the entertainment for the football games, right?
Something like that.
This freshman year,
yeah, right. So we're probably close to 50 strong every year. We come out, we play one gig a year. We have one optional practice. It's probably a good thing it's optional. We have a huge catalog of music. We play both songs that we know.
Both?
Throughout
wow.
the parade.
And, what songs do you play?
Well, I'm tempted to leave that as a cliffhanger to make everyone come out to the parade, which, by the way, is March 10th, and more information can be found at ElmhurstSt.PatsParade.com. So would you like me to divulge
that? Please share which songs.
So we play When the Saints Go Marching In. And we play the Colonel Bogey March. And Robbie,
what is that?
Do you know what the Colonel Bogey March is?
I don't. Please tell me.
That is a song featured in the movie Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Oh, now
that,
I remember.
That would be it.
Yeah. You're a good whistler, Robbie. That was impressive.
So we've kind of ramped it up over the years. We've got, in addition to our usual cadre of kazoo players and drummers, we've got some great homemade instruments. We instituted a rule, no professional instruments allowed. You have to hand make your own instruments. So our orchestra is probably the only one in the world to feature the stump fiddle, the hand zoo, the kitty litter tritoms, the vuvuzela, the washboard, and the grogger.
Please tell me what a hand zoo is.
You know, there is one very, very talented individual in our orchestra who uses his hand to make
the judge.
Here come the judge, and he brings his musical hand zoo with him.
He plays that hand zoo like no one else.
He is our first chair hand zoo player.
Do you have a first chair kazoo player and a first chair drummer in the whole
bit? We do. I keep threatening to demote people.
Now, I've noticed in the past that the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra has named a queen every year. Tell us about that and how that started.
Sure. We actually have two prestigious awards that we give away. We have our Distinguished Service Award and we have our Queen Award. So the Service Award, the DSA, was started in 2011, and there are some real pillars of the community who have received that award. Guys like Jim O'Connor, women like Sarah Diamond, good folks like Paul Crone, Scott Sutherland, Scott Ogram, Dan Roche, and most recently, posthumously, Colleen Sutherland. And on the Queen side of things, we make that presentation during the parade every year in front of a throng of thousands on Spring Road. And that award kicked off in 2012, and it was Mary O'Connor, followed by Bev Crone. Then it was Colleen Sutherland, Charity Ogram, Gail Robertson, and Jen Damer. And interestingly enough, our inaugural queen, Mary O'Connor, was lucky enough to have the world's largest drum named in her honor.
The world's largest, and where is the... Is that, that's at Purdue University,
that
right?
That is no longer at Purdue University. That is right here in Elmhurst. Our drum is larger than the Purdue University drum.
Really?
And we bring it out every year. So if you'd like to see the world's largest drum, it's a 9-foot plywood drum, and it is trailered up and down Spring Road during the parade.
Wow. And tell us more about the drum and what it looks like and what it was meant to accomplish.
So the inspiration of this ragtag orchestra is Bill Murray in the movie Stripes.
John Winger,
that's correct. Private Winger. And if you've seen the movie, you know that he whips this ragtag group of cadets into shape, and then they process onto their military graduation. So we're inspired by Bill Murray. So there's a picture of Bill Murray on each side of the drum. And then every year, one of the best things about the orchestra is that every year we try to feature a charitable organization or a charitable initiative. So every year on the drum, you'll find a message related to one of the charities that we support.
You had given me a list earlier. Obviously, your Drive for Downs was, I believe, the first charity.
I was very fortunate to have that in 2013.
That was featured on the drum. You also said Cystic Fibrosis.
Correct.
We Foundation did Cystic Fibrosis. Was featured. One year, you indicated that there were blue ribbons affixed to the drum to show support for our good folks from the police and fire protection.
Correct.
Areas. We also, as I recall, your drum had the American Legion.
Correct.
Military Ball featured.
Yep.
And then last year, I believe there was a fundraiser for one of the previous queens, right?
That's right. That was a cancer charity effort in honor of our past queen, Colleen Sutherland.
Who passed away from breast cancer, correct?
Correct.
And I think those... proceeds went to the Elmhurst Memorial Hospital Foundation.
That's correct. Keep it local.
In addition to the your involvement with the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, and really quickly, before we move on from that, tell us about the get-ups that the folks of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra
wear. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to start with that one. We have the required uniform. We refer to it as the required uniform. That would be your sort of Adam West Batman-inspired shorts over your pants look. The obligatory white, I don't know the official term for the Dago tee. Tank top, sleeveless look there. I called it a Dago tee. I'm half Italian. I feel like I can get away with that.
Well, you half Italians are more Italian than the full-blooded Italians, right?
Some of us. And, guys have taken that to an art form. We've got a guy in the group who dyes his beard orange and wears a wig with orange pigtails, which I always love every year. You know, so you
got who takes that the furthest though?
You know, that's a great question.
I've seen the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, and I would say that there's a gentleman that is kind of the musical leader of that group. That would be you, Mr. Lamort.
I have been known.
Tell us about your outfits.
I've been known to change my outfit every year, year after year, and I'm always amazed that because I do that, I meet people in town who talk about the EAO and don't realize they're talking to me because they don't recognize me. So
you're in disguise, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm usually as close to incognito as you can be, but I do it out of the spirit of creativity and keeping things fun. I'm typically wearing my black EAO trench coat, which is an homage to the character Stork from the movie Animal House. So I usually have my trench coat on. But other than that, you probably wouldn't recognize
me. And then tell us about the baton that you carry.
I do lead the troops with a handmade baton that was constructed 10 years ago, and it has on each end a toilet plunger, a green one and a pink one.
And what are the significance? What's the significance of the green and the
Well, we are the Armpit red. Orchestra, and you know.
But the green and the red. What are the significance of the colors? What?
I don't know.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, hasn't it, Robbie?
It has. I have one more quick question.
Sure.
Rick, how about the troops? Tell us about the troops. Are they good marchers? Do they conform to how you'd like
That's a constant challenge, Robbie. We do our best. A straight line. The shortest distance between two points, as you know, is a straight line. We don't really believe in that theory. So we've been known to meander, to wander, to do some things like that.
Shake some hands with people.
Yeah. You know, that's what we're there for. We are a group of the people. The great part is that on the parade route, most of the guys in the band live near the parade route. Everyone knows who we are. And, you know, the St. Patrick's Parade, if you haven't been to it, the St. Pat's Parade in Elmhurst is really a community, family-friendly event. That's what I like about it. I grew up near the Southside Irish Parade. That is a completely different style of parade, and frankly, I prefer what we have up here a million times over.
If somebody wants to join the EAO, how would they do that?
You could certainly get a hold of me. My email is Scott Lamorte, spelled out ScottLamorte at sbcglobal.net. Shoot me an email and we'll get you connected. Happy to have you. Like I said, the only requirements we have, male by gender, ability to fog a mirror with your breath and blow into a kazoo.
Wow, that I think you're going to have trouble finding people that meet those qualifications.
We're always looking for a few good men.
Well, both Robbie and I want to thank you, Scott, for being our guest. This was a lot of fun. I think that you have some great stories that the folks of Elmhurst will really enjoy. And on our next podcast, we'll have another fascinating guest for you, won't we, Robbie?
We sure will.
And who will that be? We don't know, do we?
We haven't figured that out yet.
We'll be back sometime in February with our next guest. So for now, goodbye and have a great tomorrow.
Goodbye, everybody.